in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter into the rest, as he had said. Now the Bible is talking here about the Israelites who did not enter to the rest. At Kadesh Barnea, Moses told them to enter, and they would not enter because they hear the wrong report of the 10 spies who were giving the bad report, evil report. And so they didn't go in because they had unbelief in their heart. They don't have faith in their heart, so they would not enter. If they had entered, which they did in Joshua's time, Joshua let a whole new group of Israelites enter, in the land of promise was everything that Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 14 mentioned. They had good success. They had vineyards they never planted, but bearing fruit. They had houses that they never built. They have all these blessings of God. That is when they entered the rest. Now, the New Testament rest is not a piece of land. The New Testament rest is a position in Christ, called a position of rest. And that position of rest, which we are looking at today, is the position of wisdom. It's a position in God, where God is. It says, in the beginning was the Logos. What is Logos? Logos is all the wisdom of God in Christ as a person. And the Logos was with God, and here's the powerful thing. And the Logos was God. If you analyze what the word Logos means, to the Greeks, the word Logos means wisdom. So if I had been in Paul's time and everybody spoke Greek, the word Logos would have meant wisdom. And if I had been, you know, receiving John's letter, or John's epistle, or John's gospel, that was written in Greek, and I have read it and it say, in the beginning was the Logos. To my Greek mind, I will interpret and hear it as, in the beginning was wisdom, and wisdom was with God, and wisdom was God. And that fulfilled Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4. And we know today that the wisdom is not an it. The wisdom is a He. Jesus Christ. Wisdom personified. Now that position of rest, that position is a position of rest, position of what I call the Logos position, is a position of wisdom. Think about that. If you know all things, it's impossible to be anxious. If you know the beginning and the end of all things. Now, in King Solomon's time, he wrote Ecclesiastes, and he got into a fit of anxiety. Right? If you ever read Ecclesiastes, you can see how he got into a fit of anxiety, and you know why? Jesus Christ was not there yet. There was no solution to the problems he saw. There was no answer to what he was seeing. But we are not in the Old Testament. We see everything in Christ Jesus. Amen. Fulfillment. We have a better vantage point than Solomon. And when we see the Word, and if we know all things today, in Christ Jesus, it's impossible to be anxious. For example, you won't be anxious about, you know, the next day. You know what is going to happen by your, you know, understanding with God. And you know what's going to happen in 2 years' time, and you're not anxious because you know where you are, you're hearing from God, you're doing the right thing, you're doing all that your heart is in God. It's impossible to make you anxious. Somebody comes and says, hey, this is happening. You take one look, the wisdom of God fills you, you know the answer. You won't get anxious. That guy is anxious because that guy doesn't know. That guy thinks that it's a disaster. It's impossible to be anxious in the Logos position of wisdom. I believe Jesus, throughout his 33 years on earth, never had an anxious moment. You know why I believe that? Because he told us, do not worry, in Matthew 6. And I cannot conceive of the Lord Jesus Christ worrying when he tells us not to worry. Do you think that he practiced what he preached? Of course. So if he tells us not to worry, that means he never worries. Logical, right? That's A equal to C. So, here, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us not to worry. Why? Because he could. He is in a position. Why is he telling us not to worry? He is telling us to trust, to love, depend on him, because he is now our source. He is in that fantastic position of wisdom. The wonderful thing is that, as we have said, this is a right-hand position with God. The wonderful thing is he offers that position with us. He tells us, come up and sit with me at the right hand of God. A position of wisdom. And that's the rest that is for us. It's the rest of your spirit, your soul, and your body. A lot of people are wondering, why didn't God answer me? You do not have rest. Your brain is not working properly. It's not getting the solutions it should. Because there's a blockage now. You're not at rest. And we have seen a tremendous key. God started. God knew. You know, here is, can you can imagine the position from God. Here is Almighty God sitting on His throne. Jesus at His right hand. Always at rest. Can you imagine God not being at rest? Or God, you know, scratching his beard and his head, no wondering when the church is going to be perfected. And Jesus is not biting his fingers, wondering when his church is going to be perfected. Of course not. No, they know all things. They know the end. They know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He is always God. Hallelujah. A position of love, a position of wisdom, a position of peace. And they are there looking down through the glassy sea in front of the throne. And here are all us human folks. Some of us are, biting our fingernails, shaking away, wondering what's going to happen, anxious about life, anxious about future, anxious about ministry, anxious about work, anxious about this, anxious about that. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God and turns to Gabriel and says, why are all those people so anxious? Don't they know that I am with them? And Gabriel turns around and answers, yes, Lord, you have told them, but they don't know. And I can imagine Jesus Christ speaking to Gabriel and saying, I'll let them know of my spirit. And then Gabriel says, yes, Lord, we have tried to bring your people to tell them about your spirit, but they will not accept your spirit, O God, and because your ways are not their ways. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ saying, this is only illustration, right? It doesn't actually happen. And it's never like that, of course. But just to get the point, and Jesus tells Gabriel and said, why not you draw some of those of my servants there to teach my word? And Gabriel says, yes, Lord, we have. And they have stoned them. And so here's the Lord Jesus. And he's saying, Gabriel, I have something that you can get them to do. And bring them into that position. Yes, Lord, what is that? And the Lord says, get them to sing.
So Gabriel comes down, right? Brings all his people in a stir, sing, right? Almost every Christian, at least if they know Jesus Christ personally, will not object to singing and worshipping. Unless really something is wrong with them. So here we are all biting our nails and feeling away. Praise the Lord. This is really feeling away. And here we are, all these things shaking, anxious, scratching our head, pulling our beard, pulling all these things in distress, etc. And so in all our position, and we are not tapping onto the things of God. And finally, somehow God brought His Word and brought His teaching into us, and somehow we start worshipping. Here we are, our hearts and our lives and all are pumping. All kind of anxieties, all the things happening. Finally, Gabriel managed to raise a tiny little child and say, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Well, all the adults whirring away. And finally, they get all the others to join the chorus and all say, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And all their breathing go, I could imagine their tiny little heart saying, "Phew, if they continue another half an hour, I will give up on him." And so, we got in a position, and suddenly, as we get into that rest and the position, music, we worship, song coming out, and openness begins in our lives. And Gabriel comes back to the Lord Jesus. Say, "Oh, Almighty God, it is done." Lord Jesus said, "Good. Now turn on the tap." Turn on the tap. Choo, the river of wisdom flows. And suddenly we all say, "Hey, that's a good idea. Hey, that's a good idea. Hey. Yeah, why didn't I think of this before? Yes, that's my solution. Yes, that's it." Suddenly the river flows. It all began when we got synchronized physically in music. It brought us to that point and that position. Powerful. Think about living in that musical environment all the time. If you ever watch a good Christian movie, I'm not going to talk about non-Christian movies. You notice that if you take out the music, it's just like taking out the spices and the salt. You removed all the music from the good Christian movie, it has a very bland taste. Just like eating food without spices. Without soya sauce. Yuck. You don't enjoy it. Because the music gets you. Music goes further than logic. Because when the music gets us, there's something that draws to that logic that's involved. So when we get into that music area, and we're surrounded by God's form of music, and because there's some music that may not be so, not all what I call symphony music is good, right? Only those who are born again, those who are good, who know God. There's some modern ones who are not that good. But Beethoven, you can bet on that, and you can know that it's definitely good, right? And even if it's not bad, it's a guarantee because he knows God. And so we are talking about putting ourselves in that environment. Surround your home with that musical environment. Surround your child with that environment. And the truth is, not just a praying family stays together. A singing family stays together. You could tell the difference. Like when my kids, sometimes they see me just take up the guitar and sing. They look up and say, "Hey, this is a different type of father."